This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
We have with us on the Breakfast Grill this morning Dato' Francis Lee, CEO of Berjaya Foods Berhad. Berjaya Foods, which is part of the Berjaya Group, is best known for its three main brands, namely Kenny Rogers Roasters, Jollibean, and of course, Starbucks. As at the end of 2014 financial year for the company, it recorded a 23.6% increase in bottom line to about 23 million. Its share prices actually jumped following the news of the full acquisition of Berjaya Starbucks. So we ask Dato', what are his group's plans for growth? The crown jewel and also the other issues of the brands under the umbrella. So good morning, Dato'.
Good morning, Nadia.
So let's go into the main thing, which is, of course, Starbucks. I mean, the reason, of course, is because after the news, this one article broke out saying that, you know, the 40 to 50% earnings higher, you know, your shares hit limit up twice, you know, twice in 2 days. So, of course, it's calmed down a little bit since then. But of course, the main people thing I want to ask is, so what are the plans for Starbucks? I mean, beyond what you've already said.
Well, I mean, Starbucks, you know, it's a phenomenon in Malaysia. We have been growing this company for the last 4 to 5 years. In fact, on the same store sales growth, we are growing in the double-digit growth for the last 4 years. In fact, we are the world champion for the Starbucks whole worldwide system. Unheard of, actually, in the F&B industry. So this year, we are gunning for the fifth year in a row. So we are very proud of our Starbucks in Malaysia in relation to the whole Starbucks chain in the world. And I would say that I would attribute a certain portion to management, obviously. You know, the management has done something right. And secondly, Starbucks, you know, our principal, they come up with a lot of innovations, you know, like we launch our prepaid cards, you know, and then with different designs, you know, and this also gives us a loyalty, you know. We want loyal customers, and we want to reward our loyal customers. So this is what sets us apart from the other players in Malaysia. And of course, with our growth plans that we have, I mean, we're opening, like last year, we opened 20 over stores, you know. This gives us more visibility as well. And it's convenience now. A lot of people go to Starbucks for meetings, to have a chat with friends, you know. And it's a safe environment, you know, for people to meet up, you know, in a cozy, with free Wi-Fi as well, you know. Coupled with a lot of promotions that we had, we support from the principal, I think Starbucks is a brand to be reckoned with.
Well, it's always been a brand to be reckoned with anyway, and, yeah, and definitely you're very, very bullish on it. The consolidation is actually going to finish in September, correct?
Yes, correct.
So the big earnings you're going to see, so for 2015 for BeFood, you know, it's going to be a big earnings jump next year. Is that why, you know, what you are seeing based on your plans that you have now?
Yes, of course. As part of the deal, we're supposed to open more than 20 stores a year for the next few years as well. So with this, obviously, it will add to our earnings. And coupled with new promotions we'll be coming up with, you know, I think the future looks very bright for BeFood.
Is there a chance, though, of oversaturation? You know, there's that old joke about having two Starbuckses, like one end of each other kind of street. Do you think that this kind of oversaturation, you know, will actually dilute the same store earnings, though?
Well, when we first started, I remember in 1998, on our first store, December 17 in KL Plaza, our target goal was, I think Malaysia can only have 150 stores, but today we have, as we speak, we have 176 stores, you know, and it's still growing. So we believe that, you know, as long as there's a market for a good coffee at the local area, you know, I believe that there are a lot more opportunities that we can have, you know, which we have not taken yet. Like, for example, North-South Highway, you know, a lot of rest areas that we have not there yet, you know. So there are many opportunities, and Starbucks being Starbucks is always the first port of call for any more operators. So in terms of outlets, you know, to choose from, we have plenty. So going forward, I believe, you know, we should be able to take advantage, and there's a lot more room to grow.
But speaking of that, right, the economy is one of the things that is the biggest concern to people. And because of that, you've seen an increased competition when you talk about things like the coffee culture. So you have seen the rise of the artisan coffee guys, you know, the ones who are independent. And, yep. you know, it's the Asian thing where, yeah. you know, we're not so used to friendly staff, yep. but they are building that kind of impact. So how does Starbucks face people like that? You know, who there is actually a shop called Artisan Coffee. So how do you, you know, go be different in and be less commercial in the face of like competition?
Well, I mean, Artisan Coffee is good. We would like to think that it complements our business as well. As people get more on the coffee culture, you know, as more people drink coffee, there is room for everybody. But I believe Starbucks, with all its innovations, with the support from the principal and the training that we give to all our staffs, you know, we are scalable. Whereas the Artisan Coffee people, you know, they may have one or two stores and three stores. and we before we even start the business, we have a lot of training for our staff, which something cannot be replicated at the other level. So we believe that with new products online coming in and new innovation, like, for example, the mobile apps that we just launched, you know, these are things that involves heavy investment. So I do not know whether these people has got the resources and the funds to go into this type of development.
Well, as you talk about like heavy investment and development, the apps is actually something that was new. I think you're making it more convenient for people. And then let's talk about the other thing, since you have, you know, full control now, the food segment. Funnily enough, for the US the Starbucks in the US, the parent, you know, food is actually was one of their main growers. And they have the FMCG segment where they sell, you know, over the shelf, over the counter. And but so what are the plans for Starbucks, you know, for Starbucks Malaysia in that respect? Is it more growing of that segment?
Yes, when we first started way back 16 years ago, we always said that we need food. Starbucks, being Starbucks, they say that when you come to Starbucks, you must only smell coffee and nothing else. But 16 years later, they are changing the tag. They're going more into food. So in some of our outlets, we have already launched a food program, and it's doing pretty well. And we believe that food is the next good thing that we need to do. So with that in mind, we are developing more food programs coming out in the next few months to take advantage of this program. And because our rentals and our, you know, staffing cost is really a sunk cost, you know. So we want to get more people into those lull period like lunch and dinner. And we can see a lot more people coming in during that time as well. So with that, I hope that that will also increase our sales, same-store sales growth for the future years. On the FMCG business, yes, it's a very big business for Starbucks in Korea and Japan. They are canning it in Korea and Japan. So we hope to get into this business in the very near future. And we believe that this is a new growth for Bijaya Food in this segment, as it's ready to go. It's totally a different segment compared to store sales, you know. So we believe that with the Starbucks support, they brought in a managing director to handle the FMCG business. He's a very experienced guy from Procter & Gamble. So, and now he's mapping out a strategy for the whole ASEAN market. So hopefully, you know, when he comes down here, he can share some of these experiences and his findings, you know, for us to do this business in Malaysia.
But with all this growth also, you see the rise in cost as well, especially for the rise of like raw materials. I mean, because of freak weather patterns, coffee prices have been actually at the forefront. You know, you've seen a lot of reports about it going up, spiking, shortages and all this. So how do you control all this, the raw material costs, especially the main one, which is coffee?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Coffee is our main cost component. You know, Starbucks International, they go direct to the coffee growers, the farmers themselves. They don't go to middleman. So they have a very stable coffee prices that they can engage with the farmers. And they make sure that the farmers are given a decent profit for them to live on. You know, coffee prices go up and down over the years. But all these farmers are very happy to sell coffee at certain prices to Starbucks International, for which we have 5 roasting plants all over the world. And these farmers are having a decent lifestyle with the profits that we make.
But does that control the cost, though?
Yeah, that's right. But the thing is, you see, they have their own costs. So it's a cost plus to Starbucks. So whatever the cost incurred by the farmers, they have a cost plus a decent margin for them to live. But most of the coffee prices are determined by the middlemen, not by the farmers. It's beyond their control. You know, as you said, there could be drought, or there could be, you know, bumper crops or whatever. So Starbucks try to even out all these, you know, variables for the farmers so that they can have a decent living lifestyle. You know, so in terms of coffee prices, our coffee price is very, very stable over 1 year. Normally, it doesn't change at all. The only thing that affects us is the forex currency exchange because we buy off obviously in US dollar.
Well, we have with us on the Breakfast Grill today Dr. Francis Lee, of CEO of Berjaya Foods Berhad. When we come back, we'll talk about the other brands under the Berjaya Foods table. Good morning. Today with us on the Breakfast Grill is Dr. Francis Lee, the CEO of Berjaya Foods Berhad. So we've talked about Starbucks. That's the crown jewel. Yeah. 70%, actually 70% of earnings is actually going to come from Starbucks. But you do have two other brands.
Yes.
And you do still have plans for those. One of them, of course, is Kenny Rogers Roasters. You have quite a number of stores in the country. And then there was plans, of course, for overseas expansion.
Yes.
I think sort of like 12 stores in Indonesia is the plan so far. But let's talk about the Malaysian side for Kenny Rogers. What's the plan for that? And how do you answer questions when people say, you know, the consistency and quality of the restaurants have, you know, deteriorated? That's why you're losing out to competitors such as Nando's.
To answer your question, currently we have almost close to 90 stores, of which 10 are franchisee stores. The franchisee stores, came out during the last during the financial crisis of 1998-99, we as a group, we spend a lot of money on training. There's only so much you can do, and now with all this training put in place, we have now lessened. In fact, our area managers looking after, they say, used to do about 8-9 stores. Now we're lessening it to 6-7 stores so that they're more focused, you know, they go out more often to these stores. You know, it's always got to be policing because at the end of the day, consumers like yourself, you know, would not differentiate from one store to the other, right? So that's what we're planning to do. And also, I've also instituted a plan whereby our head office staffs be a mentor to one or two stores. So I also take responsibility for those stores. And we set up a quality assurance department to ensure that whatever we dish out in the stores are met all the acceptable levels, you know, in terms of quality and hygiene and so on and so forth. So this is what we do. And most of our products are made fresh daily at the stores, you know. So when you go to Kenny Rogers stores, the mashed potatoes that you have, the salads that we make, coleslaw, all are made fresh daily at the stores. So these are some of the steps that we've taken to ensure that we have consistency in all our stores. Obviously, now we have 90 stores. It's a bit hard for me as a CEO to go to every store. But as we speak, you know, I try as much as I can to visit all the stores that I have in all over Malaysia, including East Malaysia.
Oh, so how are you planning then to grow that number, the 90, what do you call it, the current 90? So how, you know, what is the plan for opening per year? Or is it just stable now and you're trying to get the quality assurance off?
Well, it's two-pronged. What we do is, at the same time, looking at the quality, at the same time, we're also expanding. Currently, we have at least 10 or 11 stores lined up in the next 1 year. In this financial year, 2015, we already opened 5 stores, you know, and then another 2 more stores coming up in the next 1-2 months. So we should be able to meet our target of at least 10 stores for this financial year. And as we speak, Kenny Rogers is still cash flowing for us, you know, it's still positive cash flow for us, you know, and it's contributing to the whole Berjaya Food Group, you know, and there's no reason for us to stop at that, you know, I think by probably end of the year or even early next year, we will reach our 100 stores, for which we are planning to do a big do to celebrate our 100 stores in Malaysia.
But how do you win back, though, the consumers? Because consumers always walk, you know, they talk with their feet, you know, so in we were talking about the innovations you had with Starbucks, you know, the app and something like that. Is there still a plan to sort of modernize or bring up Kenny Rogers, or is it just happy being status quo?
Well, there are a lot of steps that we have put in place. We have recently launched our executive lunches, for example. You know, that brings a lot of transaction count back to the stores during lunchtime. As you know, now with the economy sort of trudging along, you know, and with all price increases, like for, you know, utility costs, even our assessment rates by, you know, local authorities has gone up, you know. So all these costs are passed back to more owners, and of course more owners back to tenants, you know. So we have to create a package that people are comfortable with, and they can come in a cozy environment, you know, easy, fast, so that they can move on. Because nowadays, lives, you know, leading a very fast life, you know, especially executives working in offices, they only 1 hour, you know. So we try to capture as many of those people, you know, by having $15, for example, 15 ringgit set lunches, and it's very popular. So these are some of the things that we've launched, and then we are coming up with new promotions like. There's a spicy sauce that we're going to launch, very spicy, from Indonesia, for example, you know, and some of the things, and then we're going to launch our new prepaid cards, loyalty cards, you know.
But all of this, is it enough though? I mean, it's like it's new innovations, it's things because people's tastes kind of change, but F&B has seen quite a bit of contraction because, as you mentioned, the economy. Is that why you're choosing to look at Indonesia as the next platform to expand?
Yes, Indonesia is very key to our room for expansion. But as I mentioned to you, in Indonesia, we had a local player, you know, a local partner.
Yes.
You know, and with their expertise, selecting sites, you know. So currently we have 28 stores in Indonesia. We are opening another 6-7 stores to make it up to about 34-35 stores. We have to bring it up quickly to economies of scale. You know, without economies of scale, no businesses in Indonesia wants to work with you. For example, the banks think they're too small. They don't want to tie up their cards, credit cards with you, you know. And some of the media, you know, we can't spend that much money on media space, you know. So there are a lot of things that we have to do quickly in Indonesia. And I think we are on the right track. We'll still be losing money for the next few years, but it's still well absorbed by the whole Bajaj Food Group, because we need a new catalyst in terms of growth numbers. And Indonesia, with 200 million people, you know, that provides us a platform for us to grow the food group for the Bajaj Food.
Is ASEAN expansion really is really the way to go?
ASEAN depends on which location. We do not want to spread our management too thin, you know. Rather than going to all the countries in ASEAN, we want to take one step at a time, Indonesia being the key. So we would like to make sure that Indonesia is on the verge of being turned around before we even consider looking at other countries.
But speaking of, I mean, the main thing I think for Kenny Rogers is it serves chicken. You know, most businesses, most successful ones actually have chicken because almost everybody eats chicken.
Correct.
But there have been a lot of food scares. I mean, you have to acknowledge that there's been, like, even for the big chains, their main suppliers have been, you know, tainted by these kinds of scandals. So when things like this happen, Yum Brands took a hit. But do people like Kenny Rogers, you know, the other dealers also feel it as well?
Yes, obviously, there's always a risk involved in serving food, and chicken being our main ingredient. You correctly pointed out, you know, as I was surprised that China, even, you know, one of the chicken supplier has got this issue, you know. But in Malaysia, what we have done was we have worked very closely with the two or three big suppliers in Malaysia for the last, 20 years. So we got no issue, and they're all listed companies on the stock exchange. And of course, halal being a key component also of our business. So we have people from Jakim being stationed at our chicken suppliers to ensure that we are in compliance, you know, with this ruling. And so far, you know, we also do quality assurance check on our suppliers as well, you know, to put them on their toes. That we do actually do audit as well, not just rely on your saying that everything's okay. So these are some of the things that we put in place to ensure that you know, whatever we serve is quality and with hygiene.
All this expansion's being driven by internal funds at the moment.
Oh yes, for sure. Because food, you know, I mean, we don't buy buildings, you know. So all our money is used to build stores, and of course, whatever is left over, we pay dividends to our shareholders.
So speaking of your dividend policy, you're actually close to paying about 40% of all what I call earnings out as dividend. What is the future for the dividend policy, especially now given the whole limit up issue, whether or not your next time round, your AGM, whether your shareholders will ask for more?
Obviously, shareholders always ask for more, you know, at every AGMs, you know, especially the retirees, the pensioners, you know. We try our best. Our policy is to pay up to 40% of our total net profit. But if you look back in the last 3 years since we have been listed, right, we've paid in some years more than 40%. So we as a group, you know, with Starbucks coming on stream as 100% by September or September going forward, obviously we can have a bigger say as to how we want to spend those money. And you correctly pointed out, yes, we are with cash flow permitting and with the bank's consent, yeah, we are looking at paying out a little bit more in the coming years.
So finally, just one, looking at the whole food landscape for Malaysia at the moment, increased challenges, especially for urban. Urban is one of those more dominant ones. What other big challenges does BeFood see for itself?
The people. Hiring people is tough. We, as Bajaj Food Group, we hire all locals. We have no single foreigners in our whole group. And I try to maintain that because at the end of the day, we want to give opportunities to our own people to work. So when people say, oh, jobs are hard to come by, but if you look at, in the marketplace, you know, Starbucks always, you know, advertising for new staffs, Kenny Rogers the same, you know, and so on and so forth. So we hope that the people in Malaysia would take this as a challenge because there's an opportunity for them to grow up in the ladder. Like our current two managing director of Starbucks and Kenny Rogers, they all work from the floor upwards. You know, they were like baristas before. They were like food assistants, you know, serving food on the floor. That now they're both managing directors of their respective entities. That speaks volume of how you should take that. That the food is not just to eat, but also as a career opportunity.
But then this is not on the part of BeFood to then provide the training that's needed. I mean, all of this, doesn't it cost? I mean, the investment, and like I said, it's changing people's mindsets. Is it, you know, isn't it a big hill to climb?
Yes. That's why we put a lot of money in training our people. The amount of money we train, that's why a lot of other companies like to poach people from the BeFood group. You know, that's because we all the people in our group are being trained, and we spend a lot of money. We send them overseas for training in Starbucks, and we send them out for excursions to do annual business planning. So these all cost money. So we believe that at the end of the day, it's the people that drive the business, not the other way around. So we believe we will continue to spend a lot of money in training all our staff.
Well, we've had with us on the Breakfast Grill this morning Dato' Francis Lee, CEO of Berjaya Foods Berhad. Thank you very much for this morning. I'm Nadia Hassan for BFM 89.9.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.